Blog Talk Radio.
I have found in you. You're the healer who makes all things new. We are so blessed to be children of God, and we have to trust him. We have to trust him in our adversity. We have to trust him through all the things that we go through. In today's lesson, Samson had to trust God. And when we're talking adversity, he has serious adversity, mainly because he did not follow. He forgot assignment. He forgot what he was born to do. He forgot what God blessed his parents, why God blessed his parents to have him. He forgot. He forgot God for a minute and was going his own way, doing his own thing, chasing after foreign women. And the women became more important to him than God. And he just assumed that all things was going to work for him because he had always had God. But then he had also always listened to God. He did some stuff. And then when we go back into our yesterday's lesson, his little wife did some stuff for a reason. And then everything that she thought she was avoiding by not trusting her husband, by not standing by him, walking in fear, not understanding that her husband's God, the only true God, was better than any God she could ever imagine, and that he would have protected her and her family. She did what she thought she was doing to save herself. To save her family. She thought that she had it going on, and her dad was weak in mind, and he also started the chain of events so that everything happened for a reason. Yes, it's going to be whether you believe it or not. And so as we get into this word this morning, you know, we're going to go back a little bit into yesterday's word because Nick. So I want to go back into yesterday's word after we pray. Father God in heaven, we come to you today, lifting up the name of Jesus, believing and trusting, Lord, that you are always there, that you always have our best interest at heart, that you will bring us through adversity, Lord God. When we pray, we have to believe the power of your might, God. We have to believe that even in our distress, mess, you are there, holding our hands, guiding us through the mazes of life. Father God, I lift up this word this morning, asking you as always to increase as we decrease. Lord God, let the words of my mouth, Mother Valerie's mouth, be acceptable in your holy sight, Lord God, for you are a strength. You are our strength. Just like no other, Lord God. You reach to us. You guide us and you lead us. And you tell us what to speak. Lord God, may we speak what you say speak. Remove self, Lord God. Remove all flesh, God. Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, I pray, believing and trusting in you, Lord, that you are our strength and you are our redeemer. And again, in the name of the matchless Savior Christ Jesus, we lift up this mighty word that someone who is not saved will be saved from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. And in yesterday's lesson, Mother Valerie read the story of Samson, how he wanted this woman that his parents were not quite happy with, but he was determined. And so he married her. But understand, she was and gave a riddle to the Philistines who were at the wedding. And the riddle was, if you can correctly solve and explain it to me within the 7 days of the feast, then I would give you 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothing. But if you cannot explain it to me, then you shall give me 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothing. And they said to him, pose your riddle that we may hear it. So he said to them, out of the eater came something to eat, and out of the strong came something sweet. Now understand, Samson had killed a lion, and the carcass of the lion, bees had moved into and made honey. And so that was it. So they went to his wife. And it says, but it came to pass on the seventh day that they said to Samson's wife, entice your husband that he may explain the riddle to us, or else we will burn you and your father's house with it. And I want you to just put a little line right there. And so again, she went, wept, hollered, screamed, his mother said, cried, and he gave her the answer. And so the answer was given to the Philistines, and he was angry. Now you think about it. You in your first week of marriage, and already the woman you married betrays you. So he's upset. And, you know, he, of course, gives them everything because he killed some more Philistines and took their stuff and gave it to them. And, you know, he told them, he says, and if you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have solved my riddle. And so he left. He was angry. He left. And so his wife's father gave her to his companion, which was his best man, his friend. And so he go take her and marry her off to somebody else. Now, he's angry, but he is not divorced to be away so he can get himself together when he comes back. And I'm going to turn it over to Mother Valerie for the Old Testament reading this morning. And I tell you, this is a sad, sad situation, but out of that adversity comes a mighty move of God. Out of this adversity, through prayer, God answered Samson. And what Samson did in this hour of his adversity was more than he ever did of power and in his time of anointing. So I'm going to turn it over to Mother Valerie, but I want you to again put a pin on yesterday's story and yesterday's words, where they told her they would do what they would do to her father's house if she didn't tell them the truth of the riddle. And she betrayed her husband to keep this situation from happening. So let's see what happens. Mother Valerie, good morning. How are you? Probably need to open a Mother Valerie's mic so she can speak. There we go. Good morning, Mother Valerie. How are you?
I'm doing fine. What about yourself?
I am blessed and feeling better now than I was earlier. Let's just put it that way. God
is good.
Hallelujah.
God is good all time. I'm in Judges 15:1. Good morning, family. It says, after a while, in the time of wheat harvest, it happened that Samson visited his wife with a young goat. And he said, let me go into my wife, into her room. But her father would not permit him to go in. Her father said, I really thought that you thoroughly hated her. Therefore, I gave her to your companion. Isn't that something? Instead of giving the woman to an unknown person, he would give the woman, Samson's wife, to one of his friends, his companion. Is not her younger sister better than she? Please take her instead. And Samson said to them, this time I shall be blameless regarding the Philistines if I harm them. Then Samson went and caught 300 foxes. He took torches, carrying the fox tail to tail, put a torch between each pair of tails. When he had set the torches on fire, he let the foxes go into the standing grain of the Philistines, bearing up both the shocks and the standing grain, as well as the vineyards and olive groves. Then the Philistines said, who has done this? And they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Tenonite, because he has taken his wife, given her to his companion. So the Philistines came up and buried her and her father with fire. You know, that's an awful thing to be burned up.
Yeah.
And that's just like God said, if we don't get right with him, everybody's going to, the people that don't get right with God will be burned and go to hell. So we need to obey God. But this lady feared for her life. And still, she lost her life. Mm-hmm. So the Philistines came, buried her and her father with fire.
Right. What, you know what, Mother, what the word of God says, to live is to die, but to die in Christ is to live. And if she had just stood with her, he would not have allowed them to do anything to her or her father. Had she stood with her husband, who was the strongest man, honored by God, loved by God, nothing would have happened to she and her father's house. But she walked in fear and not in faith in her husband, I definitely not faith in his God, who would have protected her and her father had she done what she was supposed to do. But instead of looking to her husband, she went into subterfuge and did this sneakery and then wound up doing everything they said they would do back then. They did anyway.
And the thing about it, she still died.
She still died.
And
still died, where she might have lived had she just kept her mouth shut and stood with her husband and told her husband, this is what they're asking me to do. What should I do? And he would have took care of it and handled the business. She didn't have to even worry about it. But that's what wives are supposed to do, go to their husband. And I understand, you know, so many times wives think they're protecting their husbands when they're not. They need to tell their husbands what's going on.
That's true.
What a word. I'll turn it back over to you.
Verse number 7. Samson said to them, since you will do a thing like this, I will surely take revenge on you, and after that I will cease. So he attacked them, hip and thigh, with a greater slaughter. Then he went down and dwelt in the cleft of the rock of Etam. Now the Philistines went up and camped in Judah, deployed themselves against Lehi. And the men of Judah said, why have you come up against us? So they answered, we come up to arrest Samson, to do to him as he has done to us. Well, see, that's not doing, they doing to them as he had done to them. But God said, turn the other cheek, and they didn't know that. In the New Testament, God said, turn the other cheek when your enemies do something wrong to you. Don't try to revenge it yourself. God take care of it. Then 3,000 men of Judah went down to the cleft of the rock of Etam and said to Samson, do you not know that the Philistines rule over us? What is this you've done to us? And he said to them, as they did to me, so I've done to them. But they said to him, we have come down to arrest you, that we may deliver you into the hand of the Philistines. Then Samson said to them, swear to me that you would not kill me yourself. So they spoke to him, saying, no, but we will tie you securely and deliver you into the hand. But we will surely not kill you. They bound him with two new ropes and brought him up from the rock. When he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting against him. Then the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the ropes that were on his arms became like flax. that is burned with fire, and his bond broke loose from his hand. He found a fresh jawbone of a donkey, reached out his hand, and took it. Killed 1,000 men with it. Samson killed 1,000 men with a jawbone. Samson was the strongest man. Nobody has been as strong as Samson. He's the strongest man in the Bible. He killed 1,000 men with it. Then Samson said, with the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of a donkey, I have slain 1,000 men. So it was, when he had finished speaking, that he threw the jawbone from his hand and called that place Ramah Lehi. Then he came very thirsty, so he cried out to the Lord and said, you have given this great deliverance by the hand of your servant, and now shall I die of thirst, fall into the hands of the uncircumcised? So God split the hollow place that is in Lehi, and water came out, and he drank. His spirit returned, and he revived. Therefore he called his name En-Hakkar, which is in Levi to this day. And he judged Israel 20 years in the days of the Philistines. Now look, Samson got thirsty, and God gave him water even out there in the desert. Is there anything too hard for God? A lot of times we think our situations and the things that we're going through, sometimes we lose faith and we don't call on God. But then that's where your prayer partner comes in. If you can't do it, get somebody else to do it. Stand in faith with you. Let somebody else call on the name of God for you. God will listen. God listens to his children. He said, I'll never, never leave you nor forsake you. Even when this is in the Bible. Even when you have gray hair and you're on a cane, that's in the Bible. I'll never, never leave you because the very hair on your head has been counted. Now Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there and went into her. When the Gazites were told Samson had come here, they surrounded the place, laid in wait for him all night at the gate of the city. They were quiet all night, saying, in the morning, when it's daylight, we will kill him. Samson laid low to midnight. When he arose at midnight, he took hold of the doors of the gate of the city, and the two gateposts, pulled them up, bar and all, put them on his shoulders, carried them to the top of the hills that faced Hebron. Afterward, it happened that he loved a woman in the valley of Cirrah, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, entice him, find out where his great strength lies, and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And every one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver. So Delilah said to Samson, please tell me where your great strength lies and with what you may be bound to afflict you. That's crazy. That's absolutely crazy. She's telling her husband, tell me, how can I harm you? I mean, you go up to a person and say, tell me, how can I harm you? That's crazy. Samson said to her, if they bind me with 7 fresh bone strings, not yet dried, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. He just told us some crazy stuff. So the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 fresh bow strings not yet dried. She bound him with them. Now men were lying in wait, staying with her in the room. She said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he broke the bow strings as a strand of yarn breaks when it touches fire. So the secret of his strength was not known. Then the Lord said to Samson, look, you have mocked me and told me lies. Now please tell me where you may be bound with. So he said to her, if they bind me securely with new ropes that have never been used, then I should become weak and be like any other man. Therefore Delilah took new ropes, bound him with them, and said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And men were lying in wait, standing in the room. He broke them off, his arms like a thread. Delilah said to Samson, until now you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me what you may be bound with. I mean, she studied telling him and showing him that if you tell me the truth, I'm going to have you afflicted. And she told him the truth. Elijah said, oh, tell me what you may be bound with. And he said to her, if you weave the seven locks of my head into the web of the loom. So she wove it tightly with the bottom of the loom and said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he awoke from his sleep, pulled out the batten and the web from the loom. Then she said to him, how can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me three times and have not told me where your great strength lies. Came to pass when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death, that he told her all his heart and said to her, I mean, how can you tell a person all your heart when you know what they said, that they promised to do you harm? They promised to do you harm. He told her, no razor have ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I'm shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I should become weak and be like any other man. When Delilah thought that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up once more, for he has told me all his heart. So the lords of the Philistines came up to her, brought the money in their hand. Then she lured him to sleep on the knees, called for men, and had him shave off the seven locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. And she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. Now, you know, this story totally amazed me. He was so weak for this woman, and this woman didn't care anything about him. She was an enemy. She was a Philistine. She didn't care nothing about him. All this woman wanted was the money. And I can't believe
it. Think about it. Think about this. What they told her, what, 1,100 pieces of silver. And we don't know how many of them there was. So if she turned him in, she was going to be a rich woman. And she was a prostitute. So she that's what she did. She prostituted herself to get these 1,100 pieces of silver from all these men. She didn't have to do it anymore. And if it meant giving up Samson, a man who loved her, she didn't care. Because to him, Charlie was just another man.
But the thing about
just
it,
another trick.
Lie.
That's it. You
she
know,
didn't
lie.
Lie.
The sad part is, how many times can somebody show you who they are till you believe it? How many times did she trick him and say, tell me your strength? And then the Philistines are coming. And the Philistines came. He broke free. And then, I was like, how stupid can you be? Keep moving on, because this story breaks my heart. It breaks your heart, but then it also gives you hope that even in your adversity, God will come through, take you through some stuff. He will allow you to do some stuff. He will allow you to follow what you do. If you want to follow the world, just like we talked about the prodigal son yesterday. If you want to follow the world, sure, go ahead. Whatever you go through, it's on you. But Samson learned to pray. Samson decided to trust God. So I'm going to give it back over to you, Mother.
Amen. What I can't understand is how can a man be that stupid? This whore, this prostitute, she didn't lie to him. She told him, if you tell me where your strength lies, I will have my people afflict you. I mean, she was honest. She was honest. She did not lie to him. She told him the truth. You mean if I come and tell you the truth and you don't believe me, that if you help me, I'm going to hurt you. That's why they say, well, if you help a bee, and the bee tell you he's a bee, well, I'm going to sting you because I'm going to go back to my own nature. I am a bee. When people tell you the truth, you need to listen. If they threaten your life
That's
and
right.
say they're going to kill you, in this day and age, they're going to kill you. You're going to find a way, some kind of way to kill you. And she told Samson the whole truth. And he kept lying to her at first. So in this story, I can't understand. I know she vexed him and pleaded with him and cried and had sex with him and did this and did that. And then you know deep down in your heart that she's going to deceive you and turn you over to her people. He knew that. And yet, well, it had to be the plan of God. It was all in God's planning. But verse 21, then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze feathers, and he became a grinder in the prison. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaven. Now, you know, that's God, because the strength of Samson was in his hair, and the people didn't notice that the hair on his head began to grow again. Now the lords of the Philistines gathered together to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice, and they said, our God has delivered into our hands Samson, our enemy. When the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, our God has delivered into our hands our enemy, the destroyer of our land, and the one who multiplied our dead. So it happened, when their hearts were merry, then they said, call for Samson, that he may perform for us. So they called for Samson from the prison, and he performed for them. And they stationed him between the pillars. Then Samson said to the lad who held him by the hand, let me fill the pillars which support the temple so that I can lean on them. Now the temple was full of men and women, and the lords of the Philistines were there, about 3,000 men and women on the roof watching while Samson performed. And Samson called to the Lord, saying, O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray, just this once, O Lord, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes. Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple, braced himself against them, one on his right, the other on his left. Then Samson said, let me die. Just let me die with the Philistines. And he pushed with all his might, and the temple fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than he had killed in his life. He killed 3,000 people at one time. And his brothers, all his father's household, came down, took him, and brought him up and buried him between Zoah and Ephron in the tomb of his father Manoah. He had judged Israel 20 years. I still go back to the same thing. How could Samson actually believe her? He was so, I don't know if you would call it love or luck, but he desired her so much that he told her the truth, and this woman did not deceive him. She told him the truth. Now, if you tell me where your strength lies, I'm going to deceive you. And she did. Life lesson. She lured him to sleep on her knees, and she began to torment him. How quickly some love turns to torment. Scent lust often generates feelings of hatred more than potent the early feelings of love. That's what I said. It was love. I mean, he just couldn't get over that body. And Samson loved women. Like Pastor said, he loved women, and he couldn't get over that body. So
he was in the flesh.
He was in the flesh. He couldn't get over her. That's amazing. But it happened. It's in Judges 16 and 20. He did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Oh, my gosh. That's what I say. A lot of times people are thinking that they, like Saul, Saul thought he was doing the work of the Lord, and God wasn't with Saul. And just like Samson, Samson did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Samson had fallen so low spiritually that he could not tell the distance between the Lord's prison and his absence. While God's Spirit will never leave believers in Christ, his blessings may. That hinges on our obedience. We have to obey the Lord. I mean, like Saul. Saul thought he was doing the work of the Lord. He really did. He thought he was doing God's work, and he wasn't. He was killing people, killing God's people, until God got his attention. And God will always get your attention when you're not doing what God tells you to do. Life lessons, verse 15 and 18. He became very thirsty, so he cried out to the Lord. Although Samson had many serious character flaws, he is included into the hall of faith. And God listened to his pleas for help. But imagine what God could have done through a wholeheartedly obedient Samson. How can you say, I love you, when your heart is not with me? You have not told me where your great strength lies. It's easy to say, I love you, but real love always wants the best for the other. Samson did not want the best for Delilah, nor did she want the best for him. Lust. Going back to that lust again. Lust is a very poor substitute for love. So he lusted after her, and it brought him down. I mean, his lust, when he took his eyes off of God, his lust killed him spiritually. It said lust is a very poor substitute for love, because if you love somebody, you don't want to do what Delilah did to Samson. She didn't really care anything about him. Nothing at all. Man, that's a story to remember. Because Samson was strong. He was the strongest man in the world, in the Bible days and our days. Nobody had been as strong as Samson. Samson was very strong. But his downfall was females, women. Wow. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor. May God add a blessing to the reading of Samson.
No, Mama, Mother Valerie, I tell you this. You know, and you said something that, you know, you said he had his eyes on her and on lust for her. And then what happened? He lost his sight. He lost his sight. Instead of keeping his eyes on God, he had his eyes on her, I call it. He had his eyes on the boom, bam, pow. Instead of his eyes on God, who was the most power that he could ever have. You know, and because I think he might have truly loved her, though. I think that what started his love turned to love for him, but was only for the money for her. She was a gold digger. She was after the money. It's like, okay, I would turn. She's one of those ones that would turn her mama in to get a reward. She didn't care about him. But I think he truly fell in love with her. You know, you got to be careful. Again, them unequally yokings. She was unequally yoked to him. He was looking at the outside. And how many times can you, as you talked about the bees, I'm a bee. And what the bees do, I'm going to sting you. You know, and that's exactly what she did. She was after money. She was a prostitute. And that's what she did. She worked for money. And she was not looking at him for anything but what money. And for him, she's going to get a whole lot of money. As I told you, we went to see the play in Branson of Samson. And what they did, and it was, you know, to add humor, was she got all these bags and bags of silver. And then as she got the bags of silver, she realized she didn't have anybody strong enough to carry him. And so she's like, wait, help, how do I carry it? And they said, we didn't tell you we was going to carry it for you. We told you we'd give it to you. And they've taken Samson out, and she has all these bags of money here. And you know, of course, that was the humorous part. But, you know, the other part, you know, like I said, these people did this play to perfection. It was wonderful. Psalm this morning, please join me in the 51st Psalm, and we will be reading verses 1 through 6 of our psalm. And it says this: to the chief musician, a psalm of David. when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts you will make me to know wisdom. And we all know that David committed adultery. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And that's in the top 10 of God's word. Thou shalt not kill. He had Uriah sent to the front line to die. So he committed the kill sin. He committed from his adultery, he committed lying. Thou shalt not bear false witness. You know, he killed, he lied, he committed adultery. He had a covetous spirit because he was looking down, seeing how babe got all hot and bothered and coveted Uriah's wife and then committed adultery with her. Everything he was told not to do, he did it. Killing, stealing, lying, coveting. He did it all. And then when confronted, he got all upset because how Nathan brought it to him was, let me tell you a story about a man that had this beautiful youth. The only thing he had was this youth, this small, beautiful baby lamb, this little lamb. He treated like his family. Rich man saw it and was going to have a feast. But he's looking over and seeing this little ewe, this little lamb of his neighbor, and decided to take his neighbor's lamb, slaughter it, and feed it to his guest. Well, he had all kind of lambs. He had a whole yard full of lambs of his own. But instead, he took what was loved and beloved by his neighbor. And David was indignant, and I'm going to take care of this and da-da-da-da. And Nathan said, I'm talking about you. Because the truth is the truth. And then, what did David do, though? The difference between David is, and Samson at first was David repenting. And Samson repented in the end and said, take me too. Because he understood who was the power and the source of his strength was not him, but God. It was not his hair, but God. And from his adversity and his prayers, God answered him. And as we go to the life example of David, a case study in repentance. What happens when we sin and delay our repentance are their consequences. When David committed adultery with Bathsheba, he didn't repent immediately. Only sometime later did David admit to his sins, and even then he didn't go in on his own accord. God had to send a prophet to confront him. 2 Samuel verses 12:1-14. Only after Nathan's visit did David confess his sin and then repent of it. God's discipline followed in a severe form, perhaps so severe because of David's failure to repent sooner. And what did he do? That child that they committed adultery and conceived died. That baby died. They eventually had Solomon, who became the greatest man of wisdom ever. The one that they conceived in the midst of their adultery died. And it says that if you and I deal with our sin genuinely, openly, and immediately, God can lessen the severity of our discipline. This makes sense in the light of the nature of discipline. Discipline is designed to get us to change. to obey if God sees that we want to cooperate and that we have proposed in our hearts to obey the next time, then stern discipline is not usually needed. God will beat your behind. He is a parent. And he wants to listen. Just like when you tell a child, don't touch that. And you can see him, and I'm talking that 2 to 3 year old age group, that they do stuff because they're learning. And when they're learning, they test you. They will test you. So you would say, don't touch that. And what they will do is look you in the eye, see that little hand going to grab whatever it is you told them not to touch. And all you have to do, a little tap on that hand to get their attention and say, did not say, don't do that. Don't touch that. And then they look at you with them big old pretty eyes. And little tears come in there like they just are so hurt. And you can't let that get to you. You got to say, listen, I told you that so you don't hurt yourself. You know, if they see you cooking and put their hand on the stove, you got to tell them no. So why would you not tell them no if they're about to grab something that's glass that can break and hurt them? You know, we got to do just like parents. God is like a parent. When he says, don't do that, don't go there, and you do it anyway, the consequences, if you put your hand on that hot fire, you're going to get your finger burned. When dad said, don't do it, and mom said, don't do it, and you're going to try to do it anyway. That's just like God telling us, don't do something, and we do it anyway. Samson, how many times can a woman mess you up? The first one tells the Philistine everything that you tell her regarding your riddle. And you get mad and you go and then you come back and her daddy done married it to your friend. And you get mad and you send the foxes to it and it cost her a lot. So from her adversity, she didn't pray. She didn't trust her husband when she was being threatened by the Philistines. And she wound up dying anyway, in the way that she would have died had she only trusted her husband. And as we go into our Proverbs today, we're in Proverbs 14, verses 31 through 32. It says, he who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he who honors him has mercy on the needy. The wicked is banished in his wickedness, but the righteous has a refuge in his death. You know, amen. And again, we got to be righteous. And I go back to the 51st Psalm, verse 4, and it says, against you, you only have our sin. And, you know, and it tells us, the wicked is banished in his wickedness, but the righteous has a refuge in his death. When we, what? Repent. And it says, David has sinned against Uriah by committing adultery with his wife and plotting his murder. He has sinned against Bathsheba. He has sinned against his people. Yet all sin is ultimately against God and requires his forgiveness. His forgiveness. Lost a child because he did not repent.
My life.
Because he committed adultery. Lost a child because he committed murder. He lied. Just did everything coveted. Everything God said not to do. He did it. And it was wrong. And it took the prophet to come and give him a story to show him in a vivid way as a shepherd he would understand. Let me tell you about a man who had a lamb, who had a neighbor who coveted and took what was not his to take. David was hot because, again, he's a shepherd. that man, ready to go. So that man is you.
My
Let's
Lord.
Go to the New Testament, to the book of Luke, family. You know, this is, again, adversity and prayer. God will take care of your problems. All you got to do is trust and believe that he will. And in this story, you know, and I thought about this as a widow. This little widow was persistent. She trusted God, and she's like, I'm going to go every day if I got to get justice. And so let's get into this parable. Jesus always gave you a vivid picture of whatever it is he needed to teach. And this is what he said, and then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. Now she been gone and asked, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterwards, he said within himself, though I do not fear God, nor regard men, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she weary me. This woman was worrying him. You know, I don't believe in God. I'm believing this. I'm believing that. But she getting on my last nerve is what it boiled down to. But again, from her adversity and prayer, God gave her what she needed and what she wanted, which was justice. God will give justice. All you have to do is be patient, watch as well as pray. And it goes on to tell us, then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears along with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. The holy than thou art, what I like to call them. So holy, can't nobody go holy. And it said, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men. Extortioners, talking about the tax collector. Unjust adulterers are even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector standing afar off would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And when you think about him, and he had Matthew, who was with him as his disciple, a tax collector, vilified, talked about, mistreated, Matthew, he let them know, I know y'all talking about me, that I got a tax collector as one of my disciples. But I tell you, I trust this tax collector who has humbled himself, who has got on his knees, who has repented, who has been saved by grace and the Holy Spirit, who has been baptized by me, who is a man of my choosing. I trust him over any righteous. Oh, it's all about me. I said, you thought about it. This is what he said. I thank you that I, like other men, I fast twice a week. I give tithes. I possess. I did that. I do this. I do that. it. Lord God, thank you for my blessings. I appreciate your love. If I have sinned, whatever sin I have committed, God, please forgive me. Not one time did this man with his eyeself ask for forgiveness. And then it says this, then they also brought infants to him that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him and said, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means serve ruler, asking, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. Even Jesus didn't feel he was as good as his father. And we know he was the Savior. He died for us. But even he didn't come in with an I spirit. He came in with a humble spirit of, I'm not as good as my father. And he said to this young man, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And again, if you put that all together, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother. Fast. That's them signs that you have to understand that comes with loving your neighbor. Your mother and your father actually is under God. And the covenant spirit is the other five. But Jesus gave grace in this word. These five commandments was all about grace. God gives you grace if you repent from your sins. God gives you grace when you say, Lord, I have sinned. I have committed adultery. Forgive me. I have murdered God. Accident. Give me refuge. Even God committed and created cities of refuge for those that murder unintentionally.
Amen.
Lord,
city
I
of refuge.
Stolen, forgive me. I bear false witness. Lord, I've lied. Forgive me. Lord, I have not always honored my mother and my father. Forgive me. By the grace of God, Jesus said, you can forgive me. Do you do these things? And this young man, bold, here we go again. He said, all these things that I have kept from my youth. Jesus heard these things. He said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when he heard this, he became very thoughtful, for he was very rich. He gave up eternal life. For life here. How many people give up eternal life for life here? And then it's in our life lesson for this word, it says in 18 and 1, he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. There may be many reasons why God does not always answer your prayers quickly, but I tell you, let us know that we should stop praying about something. He calls us to persevere in our prayer. Don't let your adversity cause you not to pray. When you are having a moment, God will see you through your adversity. He answers prayer. That's our title for today. Whatever you may be going through, don't lose heart coming in and in going out. God has you, loves you. And as Sister Carolyn so eloquently put it this morning, once you stop adding up all your problems, you'll be able to start counting all your blessings. Prayer. We got to pray through our adversity and look at what God has brought you through. Don't look at all the mess that you might be in now, but look back and say, oh, wow. Don't look at that mess and overflow. Hallelujah. That's from your overflow. You're going to bless somebody. It says, good morning. Once you stop adding up all your problems, you'll be able to start counting all your blessings. Have a terrific Tuesday. Hallelujah. If there's anyone that has a word they would like to speak now, adversity, he killed more Philistines than he ever could have killed before his adversity. And what did he do? He prayed. And God answered his prayer. And our word for today, born of pain. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. John 15:12 NASB. Merciful God, your love is unmatched in its tenacity. It pursues at all costs, flooding all those in its path with its wonderful, life-giving properties. There is no expiration date on the effects of your affection. You don't call us to lifestyle that you did not live first. Your example of loyal love is the measure that we set our lives against. Your commandment that we love each other the way that we have been loved by you is only possible through your grace that empowers us. You set the bar high. Jesus, I see in my own life how short I fall of your devoted love. Thank you for grace that covers the many times I fail in this. And thank you for the example that I have to look to. Your love never fails. Of that, I am sure. May I look like you in the way I love the people around me. And the question is this, what does it mean to love like Jesus? Hallelujah. We got to learn how to forgive. As Mother said, you got to turn that other cheek, as the word of God has given us. So again, if there's anyone that has a word, now is the time. Mother, is there anything you'd like to say as we wrap up today's awesome message?
You know, we still have to learn, and we're in a learning process. We're learning to be more like Jesus, and we can't rebel. Just like with Samson, when he turned back to God, God heard his prayer. He asked God, God, strengthen me this one more time. God listened. When we ask for forgiveness, obey God, turn back to God, God will turn back to us. It's as simple as that. I mean, God loves us. He loves us. It's beautiful when you think about it, because when your children disobey you, you spank them, do what you have to do, but it doesn't mean that you don't love them even in their disobedience. And it's the same way with God. Even when we disobey God, God don't stop loving us. He don't.
Nope. He will discipline us, and that's what it is. He will discipline us, but he disciplines us in love. And we pray out this morning, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' precious and holy name, family, we pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day. Mother, believe it or not, it's a wrap.
It is a wrap. I mean, it's a wrap. That's it.
Amen.